Hi, I'm Daryl Cagle, and this is the Cagle Cast. Today we have a follow-up podcast with Steve Bell, the famous and highly revered cartoonist for decades for the Guardian newspaper in England. And he's talking about all the circumstances about how he was fired for an allegedly anti-Semitic cartoon. This podcast was recorded late last year, and I apologize that it's been held up for some months because of some permissions issues, but we've got that all squared away. And I think it's an important podcast to hear Steve Bell telling his story. It's a story relates to a lot of other editorial cartoonists now that are facing accusations of anti-Semitism in their cartoons. So as you watch this, keep in mind that it comes from the end of last year, before events in Gaza had grown to be quite as obscene as they are today. Hey, watch the podcast. It's important to all us cartoonists, and thank you so much.
Hi, everybody. I'm Daryl Cagle, and this is the Cagle Cast, where we're all about political cartoons. And today we're doing a podcast with Steve Bell and Israeli cartoonist Yuri Fink and Michelle Kitschka. Gentlemen, it's great to have you all here.
Hey, great to be back.
So not long ago, we were talking about Steve Bell getting fired from the Guardian newspaper in England, where he had been working for decades. And Yuri, Michelle, and I, and just about all the cartoonists are huge Steve Bell fans. And it was just very disturbing to the whole community to see Steve fired. And I look forward to hearing more, a little more about Steve. He is the award-winning former cartoonist of the Guardian newspaper in England. He's had 29 books published since 1981. He's one of the greats of our profession. And we just are delighted to have you here, Steve.
Oh, it's a great honor to be here. Thanks so much for inviting me. And I mean, I saw the podcast you did before, and I was I've been feeling really pretty bleak since this blew up. It happened. I got the boot. I didn't expect it, because I'd always had a very, I thought, open relationship with the Guardian, where if you had a problem, you discussed it. But that seems to have changed in recent months and years. And they don't talk about anything. They don't talk to me, full stop, the editorial. I mean, I've been blanked for quite a long time now. And this came as a result of doing what could be considered a controversial cartoon about Netanyahu, who's somebody I've been drawing for a long time, pretty well since he came on the scene. My first one of him was back in about 1994, I think, maybe 95, I think it was, before he was prime minister. But he's always been somebody, I think he's devoted his political life, as it were, to opposing the Oslo Accords and somehow stopping the two-state solution from happening. And he's been very successful at that. And that was the point, I suppose, underlying what I was trying to say in the cartoon, because politically, you could say that this whole thing has been a disaster for him. But he's, at the moment, he's putting himself forward as a great statesman. He's talking in kind of biblical tones about, you know, how he's going to deal with Hamas. And it's like a personal war between him and Hamas. There's very little consideration about what it's actually going to mean and what the effects are going to be. So he can come up with a statement that says, residents of Gaza, get out now. And he said that. He actually said those words. What does he think? Where are they going to go? There's nowhere for them to go. It's a small chunk of land. I mean, they could jump in the sea, but then the sea, Israel actually already controls the Gaza Strip. This is the absurd thing about it. There's nowhere for them to go. There's nowhere there for them to hide. And then they start getting shelled and bombed. You know, whether it's in vengeance for a terrible thing that happened on the 7th, the terrible events then, you know, it's going to be no solution to that problem. All it is carrying on with the logic of the way it's gone all before. So,
well, I should say that as this has happened and all of the atrocities happened, this dominates the news here in America, and there are pretty big, huge protests everywhere, and editors are especially timid. We had a cartoonist who had an issue with the Philadelphia Inquirer, where Ramirez did as well, and the newspaper apologized for running the cartoon, which was accused of being anti-Semitic. We're seeing more accusations of cartoons being anti-Semitic. You brought up the Ramirez cartoon, and, you know, just in natural conversation, Young people here tend to be more pro-Palestinian, and their parents tend to be more pro-Israel. The arguments and the stress about this are clear all around the world and are showing up in cartoons getting banned and accusations that showed up in your firing. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the accusation of anti-Semitism in your cartoon.
Well, I think you've hit the nail, because it's cautious. It's an excess of caution that people will actually apologize for cartoons they've already published. Now, I mean, if they publish a cartoon, surely they should be prepared to stand up for it. They'll stand up for a story, a written story. What is it about cartoon that means somehow the person doing the cartoon should be left to hang out to dry? Surely the papers should take some responsibility. I mean, in my case, it didn't happen because I didn't publish it, so fair enough. I mean, I put it out myself because I don't think it is an anti-Semitic cartoon. I don't think I'm being entirely deluded about that. What I objected to was having a false construction put on the cartoon of anti-Semitism. In other words, the idea of a pound of flesh which somebody has taken from The Merchant of Venice, which contains a notorious Jewish character called Shylock, who's a merchant who demands a pound of flesh as a bond in exchange for the loan of money. Now, there's all kinds of arguments about whether the Merchant of Venice contains, of course it is, in some ways very anti-Semitic, but the character is also a deeply human character. But my cartoon's got nothing to do with the Merchant of Venice, so it's pointless me discussing it because it's not there. Netanyahu is not the Merchant of Venice. Netanyahu, I've depicted him as a kind of semi-moribund figure about to operate on himself, on his own midriff, if you like. There's a dotted map of Gaza, the recognizable shape of Gaza. And I'm quoting, if you like, a famous David Levine cartoon, which is very well known, especially in America, probably less so over here, but of LBJ with a map of Vietnam on his tummy, showing off his operations card. That was my reference point. It was a visual reference. I try and avoid literary references if I can, firstly because I'm not very good at them, and secondly, I understand the visual much better, and visual references are much more interesting. But the problem is, I think newspapers are run by writers. They tend to misunderstand images almost on purpose, and this, I think, is a case of that. They've flown in the face of my expertise to try and tell a story in the way I do, and I have done for many years, and they've dismissed me as being somehow in breach of their editorial standards. It's like I've been moderated out of my own paper. Moderators, they control the online discussion under the line, below the line on a newspaper site. Well, that's what's happened to me. I've not been edited. I've been moderated out. So it's that kind of sensitivity, or oversensitivity, I say, hypersensitivity. They're apologizing before they've actually said anything. That's the problem. So, yeah.
Well, it's not unusual for cartoonists to have their cartoons killed or edited, but it's unusual for a cartoonist to get so unceremoniously fired. Perhaps not unusual, but it only happens once to each cartoonist. And that happened coincidentally with this cartoon being killed and the suggestion of anti-Semitism with the cartoon, which, ties into this sense of hyper oversensitivity on this subject. And that's what we were discussing on our previous podcast and what all the cartoonists are discussing regarding your cartoon. Do you think that this was more related to your talking about it on Twitter and they wanted to keep that private?
I think that's the case. I've always had an open relationship with the guy. I've always been a freelance. In a sense, we have mutual deniability because I'm not, I work away. I work in Brighton, there in London. I've always worked at home. What I do, I mean, I've never really been an employee of The Guardian, but I have worked for them all my life, most of my working life, which is a strange paradox. But I've been paid per cartoon. Now, it's been great. I've had a breeze. I've had a whale of a time working for them. And I've had a great deal of, understanding and leeway. And I've got stuff through that most people would not get through because they've been quite understanding and they've generally tended to publish my stuff. I could say that only, out of 15,000 odd cartoons I've done for them over these years, only a handful have ever been stopped. And obviously there have been because, there's all kinds of reasons. There's taste and decency. There's bad language. There's all that kind of stuff. Very rarely politically. This is an instance of political censorship, I think, to be honest, because I've gone against whatever their editorial line. That's underlying it. I haven't been a dick. I've actually just gone against what they see as their editorial line. The trouble is I don't really understand or know what their editorial line is. I certainly don't want to know what their editorial standards are, and this is the thing they'll throw at people who write comments below the line. They say, you've breached our editorial standards, therefore your comment has been removed. That's what's happened to me, essentially. I've been moderated. So what happens next? Well, I want to keep working, but having this kind of stigma attached to me, i.e. the hint, the imputation that my work is anti-Semitic, is very damaging. And I'm not likely to find work anywhere else, especially since I'm so closely identified with one paper, i.e. The Guardian. Though I have worked for other places, not so much newspapers, but I've worked for other magazines and comics and all sorts of stuff. Had a quite varied career in some ways, but I have worked a lot for The Guardian. So I'm in a strange pickle.
I don't think that's going to be so unusual, as so many other cartoonists are running into this at the same time. Michelle, Yuri, do you have some questions for Steve?
I always thought that The Guardian was rather anti-Israeli, considered to be rather anti. I must say that, when we saw that you were being fired for this cartoon, I mean, I think we all were very surprised, because it's not anti-Semitic, and it's not. It's maybe they're confusing the ears with the nose, because he has big ears with a big nose. I don't know what's anti-Semitic about it. Really, I have no idea. I'm looking at it. This whole pound of flesh Shakespeare stuff. I don't know. It's so far away.
It's bullshit. It's nothing to do with it. Yeah. That's my thinking. It's difficult to. But they didn't publish it anyway, so it's kind of academic. It's probably the last cartoon I'll ever draw for them, which is a shame. But it's been good to work for. But yeah,
I don't think I'm quite sure you'll find somewhere to publish. I don't know. I
mean, well, these days cartoonists are getting fired right and left because the newspaper business is sinking, and it's not unusual for cartoonists to be fired unceremoniously and for newspapers to not comment, or for the ones that work in the building to get escorted out the door by security people. That's just the nature of how people are getting fired throughout the newsroom these days. I would question, maybe they were just looking for an opportunity to do something they already had in mind.
I'm just curious, Steve, is it the same people you've been working with all the time, or there was a change of personnel?
In recent years, it's changed a bit. I think probably the last 5 years, especially since the present editor took over, who I got on well with to start with. But actually, we had another disagreement about a similar cartoon, which was about Gaza again, and that was 5 years ago. And I think that's probably where the rot started, because I had the same thing. It was an imputation of anti-Semitism placed on the cartoon, which I really did object to strongly. It was about a young medic who was shot at the border fence. She was doing her job as a medic. She had a medic tabard on, and she was shot. And it was a story. She was called Razan al-Nahar. And I think I was very sad. She was a lovely girl. And my cartoon had the then Prime Minister of Britain, Theresa May, on one side and Netanyahu on the other side. They were in front of the fireplace in Downing Street, which is where, and I don't know why they meet in front of a fireplace. They always do. They always have. There's never a fire in the fireplace. I mean, sometimes there's a bunch of flowers. But this happens in America as well, I should say. But in my fireplace, between the two of them, I put a small figure of this lovely young medic. And she had sort of flames coming from, but it was quite a reverential portrait of her. So it wasn't, it wasn't. But what I had there was that somebody was saying, this is reminiscent of the ovens of the Holocaust.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Fireplace. It's nothing to do with the ovens. But once an idea runs, you see, once it just, once that rabbit is running, you can't shake it off. It's just, and so I had the same disagreement. Again, they didn't publish it. And again, I went sort of semi-public and complained about the decision, for which it didn't go down very well. But I was still working. I worked for them for I was doing daily cartoons in those days for another couple of 3 years. Then I think it's been brewing since then. Really. That's the downhill. So I'm considered to be someone who is awkward. Not that I'm anti-Semitic, because I'm not, but I'm awkward. I question their decision. I'm too old. I've been there too long. I probably earn too much. That's the other problem. they pay me. The conditions under which I work are going back a long way, and they're not. I hold the copyright to my work. Any uses they want, they have to pay extra for that kind of stuff. And that's another reason I want to get rid of me, because I'm an old fart. So you have to factor that in too, right? I'm 72.
Oh, we all love you, Steve. Yuri's the president of the Israeli Cartoonists Association, and as a group, they made a statement on your behalf, and our podcast and the Israeli statement is all about how your cartoon is not anti-Semitic and how you are very much beloved and appreciated in the profession.
Yes, don't put it on us, you know. If you want to fire him, not on behalf of us Jews, you know. That's...
Thank you so much. That means a lot. That really does. That's the best thing.
Yeah, the Jews in Israel, I don't can speak for.
I'd like to add something, Steve. You know, Uri and I and some of our colleagues, we drew much more extreme and terrible cartoons on Netanyahu than this one. And none of us was fired and none of us was accused of anti-Semitism. Okay? This is one thing, one point I want to make clear. But I think there's today, I mean in our 21st century, there's a big confusion in the world between anti-Israeli or anti-Zionist or against the Israel policy and anti-Semitism. And in several, let's say, parts of the political class in the right wing and the left wing, this is mixed together. There's a confusion about that. This is one point. The other point is that somehow Bibi Netanyahu is somehow putting himself as the defender, not of Israel, of the Jewish people. So he is somehow the personalization of the Jewish people, or we would like to be, and of Israel in the same. And he also is a part of this confusion between the two. But anyhow, when I hear that a cartoonist, even a cartoonist I don't know, is fired for a cartoon, my reflex is to defend him, first of all. And I think that there's a big misunderstanding of this cartoon. If you are accused of anti-Semitism, this is the easiest accusation you can ever do against a cartoon. Because if you have to prove that you are not, it's very difficult. And there's nothing that we saw, all of us. I mean, we are some 40 and some colleagues. And the letter that Uri wrote to defend you was approved by all of us. So no, there's not one single Jewish Israeli cartoonist who think there's 1 ounce of anti-Semitism in your cartoon. This is just a good political cartoon, and we are very surprised and we are very sorry that you were fired for it.
That's fantastic, and I can use that as part of my defense against them. But there's not a great deal of hope that. Because if they don't want you, they don't want you, and that's what happens in newspapers, and you come and go. But thanks you so much. That means a hell of a lot to me, I tell you.
And you know, it's not the first time it happens, because I remember that in 2003, Dave Brown was awarded for the best cartoon in Great Britain for a cartoon of Sharon eating a Palestinian child after a drawing of Goya. If you remember this, okay, that was the second Intifada on Jenin. Yeah. And this cartoon was accused of being anti-Semitic, also for the same reason, because Jew and Israel is a people, a religion, and a country. And it's hard to make, it's the same when you say Palestinian and Hamas. To me, it's not the same. I can make peace with Palestinians, not with Hamas, if you want to have my point of view. So the thing, the concepts are not well defined in people's mind, in one hand, and people are not informed, let's say, in a proper way. Because you have the big press in one hand, and you have the internet where you can find everything and anything. So it's very hard to make your point as a reader, as someone who wants to understand what is happening in the world, because it's becoming harder and harder to be, let's say, properly informed today. But that's another point.
Well, that's been such a as such a great boost to hear that. But I mean, the main thing is that I want to see this war finished. I want to see peace. I want to see ceasefire. I don't care what you call it, whether you call it humanitarian pause or whether you call it anything. Just to stop, because it's hell. It must be hell there. It must be hell for you living near it, because obviously when you do cartoons about foreign lands, it's very easy to fall into deep ignorance, and it's easy to make stupid cartoons about things that are happening internationally because, you know, we don't understand the niceties of politics in the Middle East, in my case, or, you know, you don't understand the niceties of the English class system, for instance, which we have here. We have the royal family and all that shit. But it's a really, you know, it's an honor that you what you've said about the cartoon and the fact that it's being subject to a false charge. And that was my point I was trying to make. It's very difficult because you're on the defensive. As soon as you get that charge of anti-Semitism, you're having to back off and defend yourself. But you can't prove a negative. It's too difficult. But anyway, thank you. It's been such a boost to hear from you. So thank you.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for being with us today. Remember to subscribe wherever you're watching the Kegelcast, and we look forward to seeing you next time.